राधामदाभा कुंज बिहारे जैया गोपी जन भला गिरिवरा दारे जन भला गिरिधरा धारे यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावन छहरे जमुना तीरावन छहरे राधामदाभा कुंज बिहारे जैया राधामदाभा कुंज बिहारे
जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवराज गचार्य अष्टतरशत श्रीमाधि सिवाइंग ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवराज गचार्य अष्टतरशत श्रीमाधि सिवाइंग ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराश्रिमं भागवतं की इताई गौर प्रेमनंदी ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी टू शिशि गुरु एंड शिगोरंगा ओ ग्लोरी टू श्री प्रभुपाद ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 एंटाइटल्ड लिबरेशन चैप्टर 21 द डायनेस्टी ऑफ भरत टेक्स्ट 10 टू 14 भानिजमात्रन उच्छेषन तच्छैका पारितर्पणम् पैशतापुल्कशोभ्यागत अपोदेहि अशु अपोद्य अपोदेहि अशुभाजमे Translation: Thereafter, only the drinking water remained, and there was only enough to satisfy one person. But when the king was just about to drink it, a chandala appeared and said, O king, although I am a lone born, kindly give me some drinking water. Text 11.
Tasyatam karunam bhacham nisamya bipula shramam Kripaja brishatam tapa idam ahamritam bachaha.
Translation: Aggrieved and hearing the pitiable words of the poor fatigued Chandala, Maharaj Vantideva spoke the following nectarian words. Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai ho. Maharaj Vantideva's words were like amrita or nectar, and therefore, aside from rendering bodily service to an aggrieved person, by his words alone, the king could save the life of anyone who might hear him. And text 12, we'll read together.
Nakamajeha gatim ishvara param. Astardi yuktan apunarva bandha. Artim pratye, artim prapadye kila deha bhajam. Antastito yena babantya dukha. Nakamaje hamgatin ishwarattaram. Astardi yuktan apunarva bandha. Artim prapadye kila deha bhajam. Antastito yena babhantya dhukha. Nakamaje hamgatin ishwarattaram. Astardi yuktan apunarva bandha. Artim prapadye kila deha bhajam. Antastito yena babhantya dukha.
Please chant. Destination, Ishwarat, from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Param, great, Astardhijuktam, composed of 8 kinds of mystic perfections, Apuna Bhavam, cessation of repeated birth, liberation, salvation. Va, either. Artin, sufferings. Prapadye, I accept. Akila deha bhajam, of all living entities. Anta stitaha, staying among them. Yena, by which bhavanti, they become adukha, without distress. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I do not pray
to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for 8 perfections of mystic yoga, nor for salvation from repeated birth and death. I want only to stay among all living entities and suffer all distresses on their behalf, so they may be free from suffering. Purport. Vasudeva Datta made similar statement to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, requesting the Lord to liberate all living entities in his presence. Vasudeva Datta submitted that if they were unfit to be liberated, he himself would take all their sinful reactions and suffer personally, so that the Lord may deliver them. A Vaishnava is therefore described as being paradukha dukhi, being very much aggrieved by the sufferings of others. As such, Vaishnava engages in activities for the real welfare of human society. Text 13. Shutri shamogatra paribhramascha dainyam klamashoka vishadamoha sarve nivritta kripanasya jantor jikvisho jiva jalarpanam me. Translation: by offering my water to maintain the life of this poor Chandala who is struggling to live, I have been free from all hunger, thirst, fatigue, trembling of body, moroseness, distress, lamentation, and illusion. Text 14. Iti pravasya panijam nijamana pipasaya pulkashaya dadadhiro nisharga karuno nripaha. Translation: having spoken thus, King Vantideva, although on the verge of death because of his thirst, gave his own portion of water to the Chandala without hesitation, for the king was naturally very kind and sober. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishaya Bhutale Shrimate Roma Padaswami Niti Namine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Shatarine. Vancha Kalpa Taru Vyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyarvacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So the character of a Vaishnava has been described as paradukha dukhi. Paradukha dukhi means that the Vaishnava suffers because of the sufferings of others. Or in other words, to explain it better, is that the only suffering of the Vaishnava is to see others suffering. And it highlights this quality of compassion. As far as Vaishnava is concerned, they have no problem. They have no distress. They're happy in any circumstance. There was a verse, I think, I can't remember where, in the Bhagavatam, that it says that for the devotee of the Lord, heaven or hell, there is no difference. Because they can be happy in any situation, because they're fully situated in the lotus feet of the Lord. So they have no distress. They're perfectly happy. But they take the distress of seeing others' distress. And this conclusion right now of this pastimes of King Bhantidev that highlight this quality of his that exemplifies him as a perfect Vaishnava, then it is explained that the translation of that spiritual vision that he has, that he see equally, that he see the Lord within the heart and see all living entities equally, actually goes beyond just that spiritual realization, but it goes more into the imperfect connection with the desires of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore the Vaishnava represents the love of the Personality of Godhead. The Vaishnava represents Krishna Prema, that type of love that is there in the spiritual world between the Personality of Godhead and the living entity, both ways. So the Vaishnava fully represents that, exemplifies that. They're actually in our tradition. In general, there are three personalities that are iconic in this example of extreme compassion, of paradukha dukhi, that are often given as examples for this. One is King Bhantideva, the other one is Prahlad Maharaj, and the other one is Vasudeva Datta in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And Srila Prabhupada quote in the verse of Vasudeva Datta, and we understand by Lord Chaitanya that Vasudeva Datta was an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. So naturally, the same mood that Prahlad Maharaj exemplified, he also exemplified that in his appearance as Vasudeva Datta in Chaitanya Lila. So Prahlad Maharaj, the same expressions that King Bhantideva is given, that as far as he's concerned, then he is not concerned about himself. He is not concerned about his welfare. He is not concerned about his happiness or his comfort. What he wants to do is to remain. The only prayer that he has is to remain among the people of this world who are suffering, to free them, to liberate them, to make them happy, to give them the capacity to be happy. And then the beautiful thing is that by doing that, the thing that he experienced was freedom from any type of disturbance or anxiety. Although he is sacrificing everything, he is taking the risk for other people's suffering, meaning that he put himself in some harm situation for others, but he doesn't suffer. He doesn't receive the suffering. He is relief from the suffering that actually it doesn't touch him. A similar, or at least another personality that is famous for sacrificing himself. I know a Vaishnava who is famous for sacrificing himself for the benefit of others is Lord Jesus, who took the suffering, but the whole display of the pastime of Jesus Christ is taking basically all this torture to get the message across to his followers. But in the case of Vasudeva Datta, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta say is a million times greater, because Lord Jesus sacrificed himself for his followers. Vasudeva Datta, I'm gonna read a little bit of that. He wanted to sacrifice himself, and he sacrificed himself for the whole universe, for all living entities in the universe. And Lord Chaitanya's response is quite astonishing, is very wonderful, and sort of exemplify the type of a union that is between the Lord's purpose and his Vaishnava. So it'd be nice to understand a little bit, you know, with whatever limitation I have, just go through a little bit this quality that the Vaishnava represents and exemplify, you know, that comes from the Lord, this Karuna Sindhu, this ocean of mercy. And so we hear from Prahlad Maharaj. Prabhupada quotes this very much every time he speaks about the mercy of the Vaishnava. Many times he quotes this verse from the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Nrisimhadev. And especially this phrase he likes very much. Soche tato bimukta chetasa indriya artha maya sukhaya varam udvahato bimudham. So Prahlad Maharaj says that the translation is, O birth of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. So the position of the Vaishnava is free from any type of anxiety, any type of, he's actually happy regardless of the situation. And is not afraid or have some struggle with material existence, because he is in the position of full surrender and he is confident on the Lord's protection. And that's Prahlad Maharaj's position. That's what Hiranyakashipu was puzzled about. Where is Prahlad's power came, that he was fearless. And not only fearless, but actually he had such a power that none of the schemes to kill him were able to touch him, even touch a single hair of his body. So these Vaishnavas, they have no worries. However, he said, Satcha means his only lamentation, his only suffering. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. So the mentality is that as far as for himself, there's no worries. However, when he sees this word is vimukta chetasha, the fools and rascals who are bereft of Krishna consciousness. Bereft of Krishna consciousness because the life is, the only purpose of the life is sense gratification, and they work so hard for this Maya Sukhaya, to make the world a place of happiness, Sukhalayam. Krishna described the word as Dukhalayam, but these Vimudhas, or very foolish persons, are trying to make this world a place of happiness, Sukhalayam. So, but it's not possible. It's not something that can be achieved. So, then the Vaishnava wants to do something to actually alleviate this situation, this position of unhappiness of these very foolish and rascals. Fools and rascals are described. So Prahlad Maharaj goes to say that, which, you know, described very nicely, that, my dear Lord Srinadev, I see that there are many saintly persons, indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Mauna Brata. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter at your lotus feet. So here's the essence. Here's the essence of what a Vaishnava is. A Vaishnava is different than any other transcendentalist. Transcendentalists in general, the jnanis, they desire liberation. So, desiring liberation, they do engage in their personal bhajans and meditation. They go to very secluded places and they meditate and they advance and they come to the position of, they can come to the position of elevating themselves to even to the Brahma Bhuta stage. But the Vaishnava is not like that. The Vaishnava is not interested in the person, in his personal or her personal liberation. They interested in liberating others from this material existence. And where does that come from? And why do they feel like that? These people are called Vimukha Chetasa. Means that we have no interest in Krishna consciousness. We really are not looking for that. So why bother? Like, if someone doesn't want something from you, why should we bother? Why not respecting, okay, you want to go that way? I told you that type of thing. Why the Vaishnava thinks like that? Why the Vaishnava takes that trouble? We hear Srila Prabhupada was very happy in Vrindavan. He was very nicely situated, living in Shri Raya Damodar temple, doing his personal bhajan, and was very happy. And he was elderly, you know, just moving to the next stage, you know, that just preparing for leaving the body in Vrindavan. Why did he take the trouble? And the reason is, Srila Narada Das Thakur, in the song, is one of his songs, a famous song, Gorangera Dutipada, that he expresses that he says that the Vaishnava understands the purpose of the Lord. One who understands the purpose of the Lord, one who understands that the Vaishnava is simply to fulfill the purpose of the Lord, then one becomes automatically a Vaishnava and liberated. So, what is the purpose of the Lord? The purpose of the Lord is he wants everybody to come back to him. So much that the Lord comes himself for that purpose. So therefore the Lord manifests as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And today is the appearance of Srila Advaita Acharya. And we hear, you know, how Srila Advaita Acharya similarly observing the influence of this of Kali Yuga in the people of the world, he felt that compassion. And he called for Lord Chaitanya to descend to deliver them. And Lord Chaitanya comes with that purpose. Lord Chaitanya is glorified as Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate, the most magnanimous, because he comes to give love of Godhead indiscriminately, independent of if you're qualified or not. So in reality, Lord Chaitanya comes from those fools and rascals. Is Lord Chaitanya's essence in one sense? And those who follow Lord Chaitanya, the followers of Lord Chaitanya, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that's what we're all about. That's the purpose of the Christian Conscious Movement. The Christian Conscious Movement is not interested on some individual liberation or process for liberation. The Krishna Conscious Movement, which represents Lord Chaitanya, is meant to actually bring, go door to door, bring this message to those Vimudha or those Vimukha Chetasa. And Srila Vasudev Datta is a beautiful example of that. The narration is just exquisite in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Srila Vasudev Datta. Let's see here. I'm just going to read the verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then if I have time, just say something about Srila Advaita Acharya. This is from the Madhya Lila, chapter 15, starting from text 116. And remember, Vasudeva Datta met with Lord Chaitanya, and then he had this exchange. Translation. Vasudeva Datta told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, quote, "My dear Lord, You incarnate just to deliver all conditioned souls. I now have one petition, which I wish you will accept. So, understanding the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law is to deliver all conditioned souls. So, Vasudeva Datta make this request. Quote, "My Lord, you are certainly able to do whatever you like, and you are indeed merciful. If you desire, you can very easily do whatever you want. My Lord, my heart breaks to see the sufferings of all conditioned souls. Therefore, I request you to transfer the karma of their sinful life upon my head. My dear Lord, let me suffer perpetually in hellish condition, accepting all the sinful reactions of all living entities. Please finish their diseased material life." That's in this purpose when Srila Prabhupada quotes Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati saying that Vasudeva Datta is millions of times greater example of this sacrifice than Lord Jesus. Because, you know, he actually was sacrificing for the whole universe, which is quite something. But even Lord Chaitanya was very touched. So here, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard Vasudeva Datta's statement, his heart became very soft, tears flowing from his eyes, and began to tremble. In a faltering voice, he spoke as follows. Accepting Vasudeva Datta as a great devotee, the Lord said, quote, "Such a statement is not at all astonishing, because you are an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. It appears that Lord Krishna has bestowed complete mercy upon you. There is no doubt about it. Whatever a pure devotee wants from his master, Lord Krishna doubtlessly grants, because he has no duty other than to fulfill the desires of his devotee." Now this is a very wonderful part that we have to pay attention to understand the manifestation of this inconceivable mercy from the Vaishnava, and how it relates to Krishna, with Krishna's, what is perfectly connected with Krishna's purpose, and actually how he reached us, the fools and rascals that are not, you know, interested in Krishna consciousness, how we become recipients of that mercy. "If you desire the deliverance of all living entities within the universe, then all of them can be delivered even without you undergoing the tribulations of sinful activity. Krishna is not incapable, for he has all potencies. Why would he induce you to suffer the sinful reaction of other living entities?" And this is an important thing. Whosoever welfare you desire immediately becomes a Vaishnava. And Krishna delivers all Vaishnavas from the reactions of their past sinful activities. So, whoever receives the mercy of a Vaishnava becomes a Vaishnava. Not necessarily because of the, we spoke that before, right? We heard in the discussions that not necessarily because we have the recipients, the bimuthas, have the qualification of a Vaishnava, but because once receive the favor of a Vaishnava, then Krishna takes us. And the beautiful thing is that all the Vaishnava is sacrificing himself and taking, you know, people's burning people's reactions, they're not affected. They're not affected because Krishna will not allow that to happen. And Krishna promised that in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Pariteya. You don't have to worry about sinful reactions. So when the spiritual master takes the disciples and accept someone as a disciple and burn the karma and the sinful reactions in the fire of sacrifice, the spiritual master is always protected by Krishna. So that's a beautiful situation. So today I speak a little bit and to glorify Sri Advaita Acharya, which is also a perfect example of this paradukhaduki. Sri Advaita Acharya, it is explained that he is called Advaita because he is non-different from the personality of Godhead. He is one with the personality of Godhead, so is considered a Vishnu Tattva. It's an incarnation of the Lord. And he is called Acharya because he teaches by example. So he teaches what? He teaches the glories of the chanting of the holy name. And he is a giver of Krishna Bhakti, Prema Bhakti. And Advaita Acharya, his father was Kuvera Pandit. And it is explained that on his birth, his father, Kuvera Pandit, he actually worshipped Lord Shiva, Sadat Shiva. And in his worship with great devotion, he pleased Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva gave him a boon. Ask me for any boon. And Kuvera Pandit said, I want a son like you. And so Lord Shiva said, well, that is not possible. So therefore, I will appear as your son. It's not possible to have someone else like me, because Lord Shiva's position is very unique. So then the combined descent of Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva manifested as Sri Advaita Acharya. And the manifestation of Lord Vishnu as Sadashiva, which is the origin of Lord Shiva, then that's what manifested, you know, or appeared, descended in this world as Sri Advaita Acharya. His name was Kamalaksha, which means, you know, beautiful eyes, beautiful lotus eyes. So as a child, he immediately manifested all kinds of wonderful qualities, especially, you know, extraordinary qualities of, as a very, very young child, he mastered all the Vedic scriptures and Sanskrit grammar. So he became, you know, a very powerful scholar, even, you know, at a very, very, very young age. And his father, Kuvera Pandit, he was a servant of the king, or he worked for the king. And there was an occasion that explained in the passage of Sri Advaita Acharya that the king used to worship Kali, and there was one time that the father with Kamalaksha went with the king into the temple of Kali, and then immediately the king and all the attendants and the servants and, you know, all the entourage, they pay obeisances. Everybody but the little boy, who was like about 5-6 years old. And the king noticed that, and he became offended. He became very angry. And then he confronted the father, Kuvera Pandit. What is this? What kind of education you're doing to this child that is committing such an offense in front of Goddess Kali? Why is, you know, he's chastising? So the father turned to the boy that trying to explain he should not do that. The Goddess Kali can give, you know, all kinds of benedictions. You know, he have to be respectful, so he have to pay obeisances. And the boy responded, if I pay obeisances, the deity will explode. Or, you know, it will be destroyed. They were puzzled, and they think, well, this kid offer obeisances. So as soon as he offered obeisances, the deity exploded. And then they were puzzled. Who is this boy? So basically the understanding is that he is Sadashiva, and in this world Kali is a manifestation with a Shakti of Lord Shiva. So it's a manifestation of Durga, and she is the energy of Lord Shiva. So she won't tolerate that Lord Shiva is offering obeisances to her. So she destroyed herself like that. So much later in life, we hear the different passages of Sri Advaita Acharya, but the most iconic passage of Sri Advaita Acharya was that the calling for Lord Chaitanya to come in this world. It came from Advaita Acharya observing the situation of the world by being devoid of Krishna consciousness, and it was very rapidly degrading. He was able to observe that, you know, even in his surrounding, that it was, you know, the city of Navadvip was a center for Brahminical culture, and the whole thing was being degrading in such a rapid way that he could understand that the need for Krishna himself to come and take care of the situation was there. So he called and the Lord sent. And there was, you know, as history. So I'm going to stop here. If there's any comment or question, it would be nice. Thank you. Although this week is a super auspicious week. It's one day after another is this auspicious occurrence and personalities, disappearance and appearance, you know, like that. Just concluding with the most magnanimous Sri Nityanandama Balaram appearance on Monday. So
some thoughts I have as part of the material conception of life is to, there's like two aspects of always seeking enjoyment and always avoiding suffering or avoiding misery. I've heard that before, I'm not sure what the reference is. So it's kind of an interesting paradigm shift for the Vaishnavas who don't avoid the suffering necessarily. They embrace difficulties for the benefit of others, for like sacrificing their lives. So this is described in this verse that when someone does that, then they actually become happy.
Yeah, it's quite something, no?
Yeah.
But isn't it that in a little level, we do experience that, right? Don't you think? I mean, you say the graphic thing, you know, like usually in the beginning when we come to Krishna consciousness, to go into the public like this, in dhoti and shaved head, there's always some feeling of awkwardness, you know, like, you know, what about someone that knows me? That's a big thing. If someone that knows me from before sees me like this, it happens. You know, I remember we've been in New York, you know, like people who knew me from before, they see me, you know, in sitting in a carpet or something, in the floor, in a subway, you know, and then, what are you doing here? You know, I remember feeling a little embarrassed, you know, like that. So in the beginning, there's this embarrassment or this sort of awkwardness of doing something that, you know, but then as you start to get purified, boy, it's like, you know, really, really beautiful. You don't feel then, you know, you just feel happiness in doing it. You know, and it's not that we have necessarily acquired the paradukha-dukhi, you know, quality, but because you've been engaged by the paradukha-dukhi, then you also get that. You also get that. You know, we get that experience of the discomfort and the sacrifice actually becomes a source of happiness. You know, book distributors, they have that experience too. I mean, it's awkward in the beginning to be rejected and to be doing something that, you know, people, you know, sometimes find obnoxious or disturbing. And then, you know, you don't want to be in that position, but, you know, because out of duty, because out of service, you do it. Then all of a sudden you start to experience some moments of like tremendous happiness that you don't, you're almost not touched by the world. You say you're in a bubble of, it's like transcendental bubble, you know, moving in the world. Sometimes it was like that during book distribution in Penn Station in New York. But it was like people just walking, like, you know, that there was the end of the world is coming, you know, like this. And then you're in the middle, sort of like trying to stop them. And, you know, sometimes you will see the devotees almost like they're like in a little bubble, you know, and then the world is moving along, you know, going to just with this suffering. So it's quite something, yeah, it's quite something. Any comment? Yeah, okay. Any other question?
You mentioned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give love of Godhead to everyone. And so the Vaishnava is naturally compassionate, you know, extending himself. He's not concerned about his own liberation, you mentioned, but for the fools and rascals. So in our practical experience, what is the importance, or where is the place, or what is the hope of actually achieving love of Godhead in this life? If, as you're saying, it's he came to give it everywhere, yet it's not such a easy thing to receive, or what to speak, to give. So I was just curious if you want to comment on it.
Prabhupada always said that it's simple. And somehow or other, depending of our conditioning, we make it complicated. But it remains very simple. And as by the mercy of the devotee, when we start to shed all this weight of unwanted things, then we start to embrace the simplicity of the whole thing. So that's the important thing. That's what will happen to most of us if we just simply continue and understand, the process of purification. Krishna is very kind. And at one point, this Guru and Krishna will bring you to the position that you have throughout of facing and understanding things that are just obstacles, self-imposed obstacles that we maintain. And then, we show, okay, here it is, this is where you're at, really, where you're at. And then, we start to make the choices. Oh my God, I didn't have a clue that things were like this. I thought it was bad, but not that bad. So, then it's easier. When you become aware, then it's easier to start to dismantle those things, work out those things. And that's how Krishna works. He's just, and the Vaishnava, he's just trying to help us understand that there is no happiness outside Krishna. And then we start to let go of stuff. Holding is this idea that I can be happy away from Krishna. I can be happy in some way in this material world. By condition. So it's a simple thing. It's just, that conditioned life makes it complicated, and then we have to go through the process of getting rid of those conditions. Is that right? Okay. Krishna Vachana.
I was trying to process this idea of Vasudev Datta being willing to take on the sinful reactions of the entire universe because he wanted material life for everyone to end. So I was just thinking in terms of practical application as one's proceeding in, evolving to such an extent that one really does have compassion for others and the suffering associated with material life. So it seems there's a kind of fine line between thinking that one may be relieving others of sinful reactions versus seeing oneself as at least allowing the person to have exposure to Krishna conscious teachings. So I guess I would want to ask how would one stay on the safe side of not thinking that one is being compassionate, but rather that one is, you know, being, one could say almost dutiful in terms of bringing Krishna consciousness to others.
Yeah, it's important that we don't imitate, especially that is a proper understanding of our capacity. So when we try to imitate personalities like Prahlad Maharaj and Vasudev Datta and King Vantidev, we're going to cause more distress than rather any type of relief. So to anyone, to the person that we're trying to help as well as to ourselves. So the safe position is that we understand that we've been serving a paradukaduki. So we are on the service of a devotee of our Vaishnava. We're trying to assist others to actually come to Krishna consciousness. And boy, Braja Lila is so cute. She's a perfect distraction for a Bhagavatam class. So then, we have to be aware that it's not us, but it's the devotee, the Vaishnava, the one who have the capacity to liberate. So we have to be very much in tune with the mood of the devotee. And also our personal capacity, so we don't take, you know, unnecessary risks. Like, say this and then we finish. Sometimes the devotee will say it, that you know, there's certain situations that we're not just, we don't have the capacity to actually take care of. There's certain type of things that we just, you know, for example, to people that are like very disturbed emotionally, then we may not have the capacity to actually accommodate, because we're not trained to do that. So what we talked in Krishna consciousness as we mature is that you make proper discriminations of how to help people. Because if we actually create a situation and don't have proper discrimination, then you may facilitate some something that is going to hurt the person that you want to assist. Because you can put the person in a situation that the person is not ready for, and then you create more offenses to the devotees, to the deities, like that. So we have to be able to learn discrimination, and learn discrimination is what you learn from the devotee. A devotee who is a Vaishnava, the Vaishnava is able to expertly understand how to deliver other people. We, the assistants, most likely, we are learning from the devotee how to do that. So we have to exercise and learn discrimination to properly. And when I say discrimination, we have to be sure that we don't confuse discrimination by discriminating people. But discrimination is meant to have the understanding of how to best help people, not to, you know, just like, oh, not you, but you. But rather it's like, this person can be helped this way, this person can be helped this way, different, according to their capacity and their needs. No, something like that. Thank you so much. Garantra Shuman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Thank you.